Major Notley, Reel 14. Did Jamaica live up to expectations?
Yes and no. Jamaica was an extremely difficult battalion for anybody.
Why was that?
Because you had various detachments, and we'll start with some Bermuda, Belize, some of the time Trinidad, and some of the time British Guiana, with a headquarters in Kingston and a detachment up at Newcastle. During the time we were there, they were mounting us to have the unenviable job of sending people on courses, because the next posting for the battalion was BAOR, David Tyrwhitt, the second in command. Pat Daly was a CO, and his wife's death is in the papers today, Margaret Daly, when she's died. She died aboard and been buried, but it was in the papers today. Matter of interest, her sister was Winifred Schotter. You heard of Winifred Schotter? She was a very well-known actress, and she came out there. Pat Daly was a physical fitness chap, crazy on physical fitness. He got a good DSO in Germany, in the landings. But he was quite the wrong person, I think. Because he tried to get everybody fit the whole time, and it was extremely difficult to train anything. Mm.
It must have been very frustrating for him.
Very frustrating for him. Mm. My career certainly ended as far as the army is concerned. I had a dishonest sergeant. I was made PRI, the last thing I should have been. I was much
PRI? What would that be?
President of the Regimental Institutes. I had the NACI, and I had the insurances and the mess to run and all that sort of thing. It was the last sort of thing I should have done.
Would I be right in saying this is like being the battalion business manager?
Yes, it's all different now. But in those days, the accounts were run by the officers. They're not run the same way now.
And you were responsible for?
I was responsible for the officers' mess, PRI. I was a big account. I had a dishonest sergeant who was court-martialed, didn't do me any good.
What sort of chap was he? Did you know him?
I was unlucky. I left too much to him.
Was he a regular? Or
yeah, he was, yes. Yeah. Chap called Holmes.
Do you know where he came from?
I can't know much about him, unless I can think about him better now. But at the end of my career...
Because he'd been...
Yeah, he was court-martialed, and I got away with that. I didn't get court-martialed. I had to pay £90 or something, which might have been worse.
But he made away with the money?
Not necessarily the money. There was a hat was ordered for the RSM, and he got a lot out of that, and... all sorts of things went wrong, which I should have observed.
Do you mean he was putting out contracts and getting bribes for awarding them?
Yes, yeah. Mm.
Do you know what happened to him after he was court-martialed?
I think he went out of England, yeah.
Did he get jailed for his thieving and corruption?
I think he was broken as a probably just the ranks. Mm. I can't really remember. Mm. It was a pretty unpleasant experience at that time.
Had this been going on before you arrived?
Yes.
So you inherited him, really?
I did, really. And the chap who was previous, PRI, who was a bit quicker than I was, had said, well, it's either he or I, and I was the one. I might have got away with it, but one of us had to carry this. Mm. And this chap who lives in Cornwall now, I won't mention his name, he lives on the borders, but he's not very popular.
He dumped it on you?
Yeah. Did really. Trouble was, the brigadier had known me before in the army when I was in England and I was in the Air Force and he was a T1. So I knew this chap quite well. I mean, his name, I was dead now, but he was a nice chap. And then, of course, I got into trouble and was hauled up in front of him at the army also.
How did this come to light, this...
Well, really through the audit, I suppose, partly. And check on everything.
Sounds as though this sergeant wasn't really very skillful if he was caught by a routine audit.
Yeah. No, I don't think he was, really. I only repeat, it was unpleasant. I mean, I wouldn't have been promoted anyway, but this was...
So, I mean, you were saying earlier on that you didn't really like the change to the Lloyd Infantry role, and then so that was an important thing.
Yeah, I didn't do what in the world. I remember one occasion when I got my company in a tangle, and the brigadier came along, and I was up in front of an army officer for not extending my troops, which was done. So that didn't do any good, and I got a report disappointing in the field of this chap. But you see, over one screen, I mean, I made mistakes, and I know what where things went wrong. I know I was decorated, but that didn't matter a damn. It didn't count at all. In fact, now the ESO went absolutely nothing, except I went to the staff college when probably I was ready for it. It's your career, really, and how good you are at the job.
Do you think there's a certain amount of luck in it? Because everyone makes mistakes, and the luck comes in whether or not you can put them right before someone notices.
The trouble with me was that my great friend, Stafford Ferrack, who was absolutely brilliant, he ended up deputy lieutenant in Dorset, and he got CBE and died very sadly. Father was kind of regiment. I knew him extremely well. We were in India together, and he was always ahead of me a bit. And then we got on totally well, and I'm kind of father to his daughter and so on. And I'm really super chap anyway, but he's gone. So. He'd be my age, I'm 81, and he'd be into it over.
But I mean, it is really a matter of luck, isn't it, whether your mistakes are noticed or not noticed?
Yeah, I think you can get away with it,
over the course of a whole career, because obviously everyone has good days and bad days.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to have ended up with a lieutenant colonel. There's all the difference between being a lieutenant colonel and a major. Lieutenant colonel, is fit to command other officers, and obviously in the infantry, whereas the major is only really fit to command the platoons. But I mean, that's a very, very big step.
Do you see that as being the critical step in a military career, that step between major and lieutenant colonel?
Absolutely, in the infantry. The thing is, of course, to go into the ordnance. I mean, one failed to get promoted in the ordnance. I suppose it's snobbism really, but in the ordnance, going to a big party later on in November, which is in aid of the Army of England Fund. And this is a chap's a brigadier, delightful chap, deputy lieutenant, he's a nice St. John and so on, but he's still fit to doing absolute minimum of the infantry. I think probably went straight into the ordnance. In those days, you had to go to the infantry first. You couldn't go straight into the ordnance. But I think anybody who wanted to get on went into the ordnance. And really, when that got started, the marvelous, I think that would be a bit technical for me.
Did you ever contemplate going into ordnance?
Not really, no. I mean, I think the snobbish attitude, but I loved the regiment, and Her new friends are.
Did you, I mean, do you think that you were really ambitious from the beginning or all through your career, or were there times when you felt ambitious and times when you didn't?
Oh, I think a good many times I didn't, yes. I'm very happy now. We're not anyway, the fact that my pensions are moving me isn't that a tough start, but I'm lucky we've got enough.
What was your appointment when you arrived in Jamaica?
Well, I obviously it should have been company commander, but all the posts such as the Leeds, Bermuda, Trinidad, that time, Guyana were taken up, and everybody has got their company. There wasn't a company for me to take care of, so I was out of bond, not even headquarters company. I had to go out. And the NASA and all that sort of thing I had to run. And we got some good friends out in Jamaica.
Where were you living? Were you living in Kingston?
Yeah, we went from one portal to another. We started off at a place called the Great Tree. And there was, at the Great Tree, there was how do you describe it, as a sort of basher. Well, all new arrivals went. And the thing was like a circle, and in the middle there was a lady who ran the place who had a pistol. And this pistol was broken. And all the residents hoped to God that nothing would get anybody to get it repaired. Except me, when I came along, and I offered to take it to the armor and have it mended. But I made it perfectly clear that the other residents didn't want it. It was really an incredible business because we all lived in our sort of segments, you see, looking outwards, where we had a fly trap and a sort of veranda. And the evening would go like this, but got rather late, and there was a honky tonk next door, and she used to ring up, this woman used to ring up. And try and get the monkey tonk to stop. So that was very noisy. Then there were instructions, and it's quite true that if you were a thief came along, and there were a lot of thieves, and you shot them, you had to turn the body facing inwards, you see. Make quite sure that they were, you would get away with shooting these people.
So that it would look as though you'd shot them as they were coming in,
yeah,
rather than going out.
Yeah, you'd probably shoot them going out, but then you'd turn the body around. This is true, everybody knew. And so the next stage was waiting for the thieves. So that was all in the early experience. And the cocks started crowing, I think, so we got a bit of sleepiness.
What, you mentioned a honky-tonk. What did you mean by that? What's a
honky-tonk?
Jazz. A jazz club, or did the thieves actually turn up at your quarter?
Not new,
Did I mean? Did you have a weapon in the house to?
No, I mean I don't think I had my pistol wasn't supposed to be in the barracks. I don't think I had a shotgun, but I think that had to be in the armors too. No, I don't think we had anything except this woman.
Well, she sounds like a sort of armed concierge.
Well, she ran the place.
She ran the place?
Yes.
Was she in the army or was she a civilian?
No, she was a civilian. She got this pistol to defend herself. And as I say, every member or every person wanted her to make quite sure this wasn't a pair. Well, I was unpopular, I had it mended.
How far was this from the barracks?
Very close, within walking distance.
Did you stay in that job running the PRI all the time you were
in
the regiment?
No, I was a commander when the things went wrong.
How long was it before that happened then?
About 6 months or so.
So you had 6 months doing this business management, and then that.
Then I got a company up the hill, Newcastle.
What was Newcastle like?
Newcastle,
what was going on there?
It was 19 miles away from headquarters in the colonel. And 190 bales in 19 miles or something. And fortunately, there was a landslide one time, so the colonel couldn't get up. So as long as I could get away from Pat Daly, the better. But we did overcome the barrier. There was a friend of mine called John Fryer, who I think set me marlin, and we went big game fishing. And it was great fun. Caught a 140-pound marlin. But I was able to go as far as the landslide and then drove by and met me the other side.
What was the company doing at Newcastle? What was its role?
I think it was just training. I mean, it was kind of a difficult area to train, and I used to run exercises and that sort of thing. Very heavy, a sort of flat area where there was parade ground with all the badges of the various regiments to be around. Any training, there was no other.
What sort of training could you do? Could you do any tactical training or field exercises?
Yes, it was extremely difficult. I mean, we used to do digging exercises on the side of the hill. Mm. And little advances along the road, contact, and withdrawals, again limited by the road, ending up on the square.
Did you have any sort of internal security role that you were aware of?
Yes, I think down in the barracks there was. I don't really remember very much about that. There was, I think, yes. Mm-hmm. And then there was one big exercise, a place called Monique, when we had training, and I commanded the battalion. Great distinction.
During what form that exercise took? What you were supposed to do?
It was just an advance, only you could do along the road, and you would attack. And what did you do when you were attacked? I forgot maybe all the answers to that.
Was this an opposed exercise? Did you have anyone playing enemy for you?
Oh yes.
Do you remember who's doing that?
Yeah, a chap called Axworthy, who's called Maxim Axworthy. Of course, he was a communist, and he had a few anyway, with cooks and people throwing up the fatties. But all that was ridiculous, really. Mm.
What sort of things could you do when you were off duty?
We had an interesting time. We went up to where all the film stars live, right up in the north. I can't remember the name of the place. When you flew out there, you flew there, and then you got into Viscount because you couldn't land at Kingston, you can now. Those days you flew to, I forget my own name, I have to ask you, but Montego Bay. Montego Bay was where all the film stars were sent. And I went to see L. Flynn's parents, who lived there, and they were very nice, and they said, well, we can camp in our area. Mm. So I had a camp going for the troops and gave them quite a nice change. It was a sort of recreation place. And I enjoyed that. We could go and bathe there. There was a place called Doctor's Cove. It was so expensive to go in, and you had a chap to pay who picked up the leaves, and there were a mat to lie on. Wasn't often we could go. We stayed with a Mrs. Brown, who had an English husband, I think, and had a very good little setup for people like ourselves. I mean, comparatively hard up. Although, personally, we weren't hard up, we were comparatively hard up to everybody else.
In Montego Bay?
Montego Bay. Mm. I had my early experience of water skiing. I was given a free demonstration and I enjoyed that. It's the only time we water skiing.
What did the soldiers make of Jamaica? Did they enjoy it there?
No, not really. I think they had a pretty lousy time. That is why it was nice to get them out.
What was so bad about it? Why didn't
they? Mind you, from games, they were very tricky. If you were a cricketer, so you were fine. The football was their game mainly, and I don't think football was, I don't know what teams they were. Bastamenti was Prime Minister then. And Manley.
Michael Manley.
This is the father, but then the son, I think, came on later. But Manley, the old Manley, was not very pro-British because he was a corporal in the First World War, never got promoted, so he was very popular.
How did you get on with the locals in general?
Oh, very well. We had some good friends. Plus the mentor was great fun. And there were people there who were all out to help with things. We had a black chap who used to come and help me with PRI, and if we had a party, he'd produce all sorts of things, you know, for children. We had other friends. Funnily enough, the BM's uncle Mark, Old Lynch were out there, so we saw one of them. This is the BM who is the BM in Lair.
The amorous BM.
The amorous BM, yes. I don't know what's happening in Lair.
Did you stay in Newcastle for the rest of the tour, or did you move on from there with your company?
No, I think I came down to headquarters. I can't remember after that. Obviously, when I left, I didn't leave the wreck to Newcastle.
Did you manage to get out to any of the other locations, to Belize or Trinidad?
No,
or you didn't?
I should have. I mean, if I hadn't put my foot in it, I would have landed in Belize. Up in Sierra Leone and Rivadale and Japanese makers of water. You know, I'm not going to send him out. So I was stuck, unfortunately.
But commanding a company in the field is not the same thing as running a PRI, is it?
That was more of my forte, I think. Or battalion, I couldn't command a battalion, he said. In the field.
And the next thing, I think, the last appointment was back in England again,
yeah,
at Lancaster.
Wonderful. I went to as brigade major of TA Brigade in Lancaster, 126 Infantry Brigade, TA.
How did you get that? Did you apply for that, or was it? Did it just?
Well, I was due for staff.
You're due for staff again.
Yeah. Very different from a brigade major in a regular brigade, because you do all the work and you really run the headquarters. Whereas the brigadiers I had, the first one was keen on racing, John Conley, who was a nice chap, he was a buck. He used to spend most of the day racing with Haydock and places like that, whilst I was supposed to do the work and answer for the general, except for Pat Scott, and she's there. He used to ring up and say, "Where is Conley?" And I said, "Well, he's going over Constance or something." Scott, he was here now. But the lovely area, we had Trottle Bowman and Lake District. It was wonderful to always get camp.
Was this a regular brigade, the 126?
No,
TA. TA Brigade?
Yeah.
What units did you have in it?
The King's Own Royal Regiment, commanded by Nigel Gibbon. Nigel Gibbon became general, a very good chap, King's Own Royal. We had the Border Regiment, a chap called Matthews, who was the TA commanding officer, whereas the King's Own had a regular. The Laurels at Rogers commanded the Laurels. I got on very well with Laurel. Used to go on exercises because we had camp. The first camp we went to was down in Pembrokeshire. And down there. I had to go as a dance party. And then the next one we had a lot of lakes, I think. And then we had only one in Pembrokeshire. Somewhere up in the Lake District.
Mm. How big was your staff then at 126 Brigade? You mentioned you had a brigadier who was usually
well,
on
the regular staff,
was racing.
Staff, a driver, and a clerk.
Was that it? That was all?
Yeah. Mm. Chief clerk, and head of the good check, because he had to do all sort of internal work there. Mm. Very good check. Driver was your driver, and the other clerk sort of worked, did it most of the typing and this whole thing. Mm. Brigadier, we can see very much, I hope we can help it.
Was the TA in 126 Brigade well recruited at that time?
Yeah, I think they were quite well recruited. It was the end of national service, and I think they had to go to TA after national service.
Yes, when national service was running.
Yeah, I think it was finishing then, and I think they had to do so much TA service.
Well, the decision was taken to phase out national service in 1957, but
yes.
It took them about 4 years altogether.
Yes, it was 59 and that time, so it was about that time. Mm. But there's some really good chaps in TA. We met. We used to go to Morecambe. We had quite a lot of interest in Morecambe. Morecambe Bay is an interesting place. That was where I used to go for, to go to the beach when the anchors are.
What sort of training were they doing in that brigade?
well, they had the annual camp. Mm-hmm. They had to do an annual camp, 70 days, tea generally for them, weekends. Basically, they were doing sort of weapon training, around the year. And I don't think money was all that short, but it was beginning to show. We couldn't go up to the battle area very often.
Was there weapon training of a reasonable standard?
I mean, yeah, I think so, yeah. TA had sergeants, they had... there was a training officer who was a regular, and I think the training officer as well as the commanding officer had given them an advantage. They had training, and then each battalion and the war division had a training officer. Very nice chap. And the Loyals had a regular CO, can't remember who their training officer was. The CO was a regular, Rogers.
Did these battalions more or less run themselves? Did they run their own internal affairs, or did they give you a great deal to do?
Quite a lot of things. I mean, they wanted one of the things I had to sort of organise was the band competition. One of them had a brass band, and the others were silver bands, and to be surprised how much work that involved, particularly since judging a brass band was different from judging a normal band. Mm. One thing I remember. We used to have, I think, concert occasionally, one went to, they were having something to get together. What else was turned about? We had a frightful quarter, terrible quarter.
In Lancaster itself?
Yeah,
what was wrong with it?
It was too small and drafty and it's fortunately defunct now, but it was near where my office was. My predecessor, a chap called Mike Dauncey, had lived somewhere out in private accommodation and was much more comfortable. But we had to journey in.
Did you have to go round these battalions visiting them,
Yeah.
I mean, were they all roughly the same standard, or did you notice differences in their level of expertise?
I think that the best battalion was probably the King's Own Guard. I think the worst Italian was certainly the lawyer.
Could you account for that? What was the reason for?
One was a very little drive.